We have a wonderful crowd tonight to come and worship our Lord together. It's good to see everybody here. We hope that you'll come back in every opportunity that you get the chance. It is really good to see Brother Bob and Sister Peggy Pence here tonight. And I got to tell you, there's a lot of people that hurt. And they come anyways, day in and day out. And Brother Bob has had a really bad setback with Parkinson's disease. And he is here now. And I'm going to tell you, brethren, if that doesn't lift you up and set your soul on fire, then your soul needs to be under some kind of life preservation or something. We need to do something for you, because that should pump you up. That a brother who's had a setback like that still wants to come and be with us to worship God together. I want to thank you so much, Brother Bob, for being here. And Sister Peggy, I know that's difficult sometimes, but they're here. What a wonderful thing that is. Open your Bibles with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, we'll begin reading in verse 31. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 31, we're going to look at the story of David. So get your Bibles out, you'll need them. We're going to park here for most of the time, so keep your markers in this text. We will use go to other parts of the Scriptures to look at some things, but this will be our primary text for the evening. Look with me at 1 Samuel 17, beginning in verse 31. The Bible says, "When the words which David spoke were heard, they told them to Saul, and he sent for him. David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine.' Then Saul said to David, 'You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth.' But David said to Saul, 'Your servant was tending his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God.' And David said, 'The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'Go, and may the Lord be with you.' Then Saul clothed David with his garments and put a bronze helmet on his head, and he clothed him with armor. David girded his sword over his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. So David said to Saul, 'I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them.' And David took them off. He took his stick in his hand and chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag which he had, even in his own pouch. And his sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine." From a very early age in our lives, the stories that are told in our children's Bible classes just have this way of just really capturing our attention. Perhaps it's the story of a man who was thrown in a cage of lions and he survived. Or maybe it's the story of 3 men who walk into a hot, fiery furnace and they come out of that furnace alive with not a mark on them. Maybe it's the story of a boy who wore a coat of many colors who ultimately one day became the man in Egypt. Or maybe it's the story of a boy who was hidden in the bulrushes, who grew up into a man, and then God used him to lead his people through the middle of the Red Sea as the water was parted on both sides. I think one of those stories that catches our attention perhaps more than any other is this story of David, a boy and a giant. How that every day this huge giant came and intimidated the armies of Israel. And every day he said, "Bring forth one man to come and to fight me, and we will determine the outcome of this battle just between the two of us." And nobody from Israel would go up and volunteer to go. They were too scared. They were too intimidated. They hid in fear. And then one day, a shepherd comes to bring lunch to his 2 older brothers. And he sees what is happening, and he is offended that no one has stood up to this giant. And so he volunteers to go and fight the giant, and everyone tells him that he's out of his mind. Everyone tells him that he's crazy, that there's no possible way that he can win this battle, this one-on-one competition. And as we have just read, this boy has all of this confidence. He exudes with confidence. God has been with me. He has helped me kill lions and bears. He will help me kill this uncircumcised Philistine. I'll go. I'll fight him. And so Saul puts his armor on him, and David says, no, ultimately, I don't need that. And he just chooses five smooth stones from a brook nearby, and he uses his sling. And with one stone, the sling goes round and round. And the rock, or whatever, I can't remember the child song exactly, went up, 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 right? And the giant came tumbling down. I believe that this story catches our attention because it is the classic story of the underdog. It is the classic story of someone who defies the odds. The odds were against him, but yet he had a lot of confidence. And he went and used that confidence, and he went and did something truly amazing. In fact, if you turn on ESPN, and if you watch sports of any kind, you will always hear references to David and Goliath, won't you? You're about to hear those in March with what they call March Madness. You'll hear there will be a, quote, Cinderella team, the David of the pack, and it'll come and it'll win some games, maybe even win it all, even maybe beat Kentucky. Some of you Louisville fans like that. But you just never know. It captures our attention, too, because inside of us is a part of us that wants to believe that we can overcome anything, despite the overwhelming odds that are against us. We want to know that we too can become a David in the face of a Goliath. That we can accept challenges in life, big or small. We can beat the odds. And I truly believe this evening that we can. And you know what happens when we get older? These stories become more than just Bible stories. They become lessons. Paul in the book of Romans, in Romans 15 and verse 4, said, "For these things were written in earlier times, and they were written for our instruction, that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." And so we go back to these stories that have captivated us and grabbed our attention, and we find the lessons that God wants us to learn. I want us to do the same thing this evening, because I just want us to learn how to be a David. It's pretty simple. I just want us to learn how to be a David. In our winter Bible series on Monday nights, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, we'll be meeting. I've enjoyed these studies, but we're talking about the Psalms. And we're talking a lot about David as an author of so many of the Psalms that we find ourselves reading. And we see his heart. And we see his attitude, that the Bible calls him a man after God's own heart. And so we often question ourselves. We often say, you know, how did David get that way? How did David become a man that is after God's own heart? And I believe the answer is found here in 1 Samuel 17 in regards to this great story of David and Goliath. And I believe that this story sums up the life of David, and it teaches us how to be like him. And so, how is it that you and I can go out in this world and in our lives and kill the giants that we often face? How can we be a David? I want to suggest four things to you this evening, and then the lesson will be yours. The first thing I want to suggest to you is that we can be a David by just simply trusting in God. That sounds simple, doesn't it? David trusted in God. And it's really interesting that when David volunteers for the job, Saul tells David, essentially, you are out of your mind. Go look at Saul's response in verse 33 again. He says, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth." It's as if Saul is saying, you have got to be crazy. This guy's been fighting as long as you've been alive, and you think you're going to go up and you're going to just take him out like it's nothing? And then we read David's answer earlier, when David essentially says, "Look, I've killed the bear, I've killed the lion, I've grabbed a lion by the beard and struck him down because of God. And if I can do that with a lion and with a bear, God will deliver me from the Philistine. And then Saul says, go and may the Lord be with you. I want you to notice something about this. I want you to notice that David trusted God from his youth. David didn't just talk the talk. David walked the walk, or as Brother Richard would say, he walked the talk, right? He did what he said he was going to do. He wasn't just talking a big game and then all of a sudden he wasn't going to deliver and perform when the time came. And that's because he trusted in God from his youth. Isn't that interesting? That Goliath had been a warrior from his youth, but David had trusted God from his youth. That's what Psalm 71 tells us in a week from tomorrow. We're going to talk about Psalm 71. But in Psalm 71 and verse 5, the Bible says, or David says, for you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my confidence from my youth. And in Psalm 71 and verse 17, he says, O God, you have taught me from my youth. And as an old man, he says, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. In other words, as an old man, David says, I haven't given up. But that started from his youth. And life had taught David that God would be with him. He trusted God. And you and I have to learn to trust God also. Put your markers in 1 Samuel 17, if you haven't already, and turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, and look at verse 5 with me. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. I want you to see what David's son, Solomon, had to say about trusting God. Maybe Solomon learned a thing or two from his dad. Maybe it passed down from generation to generation. In Proverbs 3 and verse 5, Solomon says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, verse 6, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Don't lean on your understanding, Solomon says. Trust God. Don't lean on your own strength, Solomon says. Trust God. Don't lean on your own abilities, Solomon says. Trust God. Don't lean on your own wisdom, Solomon says. Trust God. Trust God, and God will take care of you. We sing a song about that, don't we? God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. I want to ask you, do we believe what we're singing? I wonder if we really believe that, because so often we are tempted to trust in self a lot more than we trust in God. And I've got to tell you, when David went to the brook and when he chose those five smooth stones, it wasn't because he was convinced that he was the best stone slinger that Israel had ever seen. It was because he was convinced that even with five stones, that God could help him kill this giant. David trusted in God, and we need to trust in God. Jesus puts it like this in Matthew 6 and verse 33 when he says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Put God first. If you want to go through this life and face the giants that exist in your life, you've got to put God first, you have to trust God, and you have to realize that you can't do it without Him. All throughout our lives, we are faced and we are surrounded by people who think that they can get through this life on their own. You cannot. And we learn that from the story of a little boy and a sling and a giant. The second thing I want to point out to you is that you not only have to trust God, but you've got to glorify God. In other words, you've got to give God all of the glory, all of the credit. You've got to honor Him. Look at verse 26 back in 1 Samuel 17, verse 26. David comes out and he points this out to the armies of Israel in a very interesting way. And so when you look at this verse in verse 26, David asks the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and who takes the approach away from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, notice this, that he should taunt the armies of the living God? Now don't look over that. That is important. I want you to notice that these are not the armies of Israel. You say, wait a minute, of course they were, Wiley. Well, yeah, they were the armies of Israel, but more importantly, I want you to notice, they were the armies of the living God. These are God's chosen people. And David understands clearly that they belong to God. David understands that he's going to give God the glory from the very beginning. Saul didn't do that. Saul hid in fear for his life in a tent. The rest of Israel didn't do that. They failed to realize that they belonged to God. But David understood who God was. David clearly understood that God ruled in Israel. Look at verse 37. The Bible says that David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." That's what David said. He gave God the glory for that. I want you to notice that. He gave God the glory for defeating these animals, this lion and this bear. He gave God the glory for the victory to come with Goliath. And even in the face of this giant, Goliath, he continues to honor God and to give God the glory. Look at verse 45. "Then David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you, and I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all His assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's. And He will give you into our hands.'" David's whole purpose in his life was to give God the credit, was to glorify God. And not just to teach the Philistines a thing or two about messing with the armies of God, right? It was because he wanted to teach Israel, who had forgotten that they had belonged to God. The Bible says they were greatly feared and dismayed. But David wanted to teach them a lesson that with God on their side, they could overcome. He wanted the congregation of Israel to know who God was and that God would deliver them. In fact, in verse 46, he wanted the whole world to know the God of Israel. Let me ask you a question. When you have successes in your life, who do you give the credit to? Do you look in the mirror and see perfection and brag to yourself about how great you are? Do you call your friends and boast about whatever it is that you've just done? Do you go on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram and go and tell everybody all these great things that you've done? Or are you so focused on yourself that you fail to give God the credit? Let me tell you how you will know that. When someone comes up to you and gives you a compliment, how do you handle it? Do you ever give God the glory? Have you ever told them in that moment, "Well, you know, I appreciate the compliment, but really and truthfully, I'm just a servant of God. It is God who has blessed us." Now, I want you to know, if all of you come out and say great lesson tonight, that's exactly what I'm going to say. You know, sometimes we look at the athlete on TV, and in his interview, he starts off by saying something to the effect of, "I just want to thank God for the ability that I have and for all that He's done for me and for this great game of baseball or football and all of that." And you know, sometimes we look at that and we kind of think to ourselves, you know, that guy just doesn't care about God. God doesn't care about that game, and that may be true, it may not be true, but there is something that we can learn from that athlete. We need to give God the glory in our lives. We need to learn to glorify God. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. We sing that, don't we? Do we mean the words? I'm going to tell you, one of our greatest temptations in life is the temptation to promote ourselves. One of the greatest temptations in life is found when we spend all of our energies trying to get other people to look at us and see how great we are. And sometimes there are people who even do that when it comes to kingdom work. "Well, look at all the Bible classes that I have taught." I get it. I get some things that other Bible class teachers, they just don't get. You know, I get it. I've got the best style. I've got the best words. I'm the most eloquent person. Look at that. I get it. Look at me. Or look at how much better I am as a song leader than others. Or look at all of the people that I have taught. Or look at all the work that I have done around here. Nobody does any more work than I do. Matter of fact, nobody comes close to doing the amount of work that I do. I want to tell you that when you begin to make statements like that, you are talking a lot more about yourself and a lot less about God. It's all about God. And the story of David tells us that we need to give Him the glory and the credit for all that He has done, just like David did. You know, David did not slay this giant so that he could become king. He didn't kill Goliath so that one day Israel would bow down to him. That wasn't his purpose. He didn't do it to prove to all of the people that he was better than Saul or any of the other men that went and hid in their tents. He did what he did to glorify God. That's why he did it. That's why he went out. He did that to glorify God. Other people, they would have gone around and bragged. Did you see me? That 8 foot nine or whatever, some of you Bible class teachers for the kids can tell me exactly. That huge giant came in and I took a stone and I killed him. But not David. He just glorified God. And ladies and gentlemen, we have to do the same. We have got to give God the glory in our lives if we expect to face life's challenges. We have got to recognize that without Him, we are nothing. Do you believe that? That without God, you are nothing? I believe you do, because you wouldn't be here tonight if you didn't believe that. But the reality is, it's easy to believe that here in this room right now as we're all worshiping together and as we all draw strength and encouragement from one another. What's going to be hard is when you go out tomorrow, you've got to remember that you've got to glorify God. That you are nothing without Him. That you can't do it on your own. And so David glorified God. We also have to, number three, we have to make sure that we think positively. Boy, I've talked about this a lot in January, haven't I? We've got to think positively. We have to have the right attitude. We have to have a good attitude. We need to think optimistically. I would like for you to think about the attitude of David in contrast to the attitude of the rest of the armies of Israel. Look at chapter 17 and look at verse 11 with me. Notice what the Bible says. The Goliath had been coming down. He had been taunting God's people day in and day out. And in their response is recorded here in verse 11. It says, "When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." In other words, they were discouraged. They were completely discouraged. They focused on the negatives of what Goliath had said. They focused on the doubts and the fears and all the problems involved. Nobody can beat a giant. We are but grasshoppers in his sight. Kind of like, you know, the spies going into the land and all but Joshua and Caleb came out. And that's what they said about the Nephilim, the giants of the land of Canaan. They said, "We are but grasshoppers in their sight." That's exactly what most people would have said in this situation with David and Goliath. They were consumed with the most negative of thoughts. And then you compare that to the mindset of David. And when you think about that, you see that David saw this giant as nothing more than a predator. Nothing more than a lion or a bear. Look at verse 36 again. Notice this. "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them." He saw him as nothing more than a predator. He had a different attitude. He didn't listen to the negatives that everybody else had tried to tell him about. And let me tell you, if there was ever anybody who was just tried to be talked out of something and who was given all the reasons why this just won't work, it was David with Goliath. Back up in verse 28 and you'll see that. The Bible says, "Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger burned against David and said, 'Why have you come down? And with him whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your insolence and the wickedness of your heart, for you have come down in order to see the battle.'" Did you see what his brother said, his own brother said about him? His own brother is telling him, "Listen, you don't need to be here. Go home, go do your job, be a shepherd. Quit coming down here and trying to cause trouble. Don't be a troublemaker." And David wouldn't listen to that. Matter of fact, he didn't even acknowledge it, really. He just moved right on. He says in verse 29, "What have I done now? Was it not just a question?" And then he turned away from him. He just walked away. He just dismissed it. Because he knew in his own heart, "That's not why I'm here." Notice verse 33, that Saul trying to discourage him too. "Again, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth." Do you see that again? Saul was telling David that this just wasn't going to work, that this was an impossible scenario, and David wouldn't listen. And then Goliath, trying to talk David out of this situation. Even Goliath tried to discourage David from fighting him. Look at verse 43. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And then the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine also said to David, "Come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and to the beasts of the field." Goliath told David, "Hey, you come, you fight me, and I will kill you. I will destroy you." And David didn't listen. Every time that David is tempted to run away, he doesn't back down. David would not listen to the excuses. He didn't try to get out of the situation. He just kept moving forward. It kind of reminds me of the verse in Philippians 4 and verse 13 where Paul says, "I can do all things through Him, through Christ, who strengthens me." Ladies and gentlemen, we need to have a positive mindset, a good attitude. We need to be reminded that with God in life, that one person with God on their side is the majority. One person with God can overcome anything. And it's not just David either. It's Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Joseph and Joshua and Esther and Ruth and Ezekiel and Isaiah and Elijah. And the list continues and goes on and on and on. Over and over again in the Bible, we see that just one person with God is a majority. Let me encourage you tonight to have a good attitude. Let me encourage you tonight to think positively in life. And will you think good thoughts too? I have to tell you, sometimes I get so frustrated with my own brethren. Because sometimes I think my brethren are some of the most miserable people that I've ever met on the face of the earth in my life. Sometimes all we do is look at all of the problems. I'm going to tell you that if that had been David, he would have never been the king of Israel. He would have never left home. He would have hid out of fear just like Saul did. He would have never chosen five stones. He would have never set foot on the battlefield because he would have been defeated by his own negativity. And that's how we are sometimes. Why don't we go talk to our neighbors about the Lord and about the gospel? Well, they won't listen anyway. Why don't we go talk to the brother who's living in sin and needs to be gently rebuked and restored? Well, they don't care what I have to say. Why should I go and do that? They're not going to hear me. Why don't we do the work that God has planned for us to do? Well, I just won't be good enough at it. Let somebody else do it. I won't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Nobody will listen to me. There's just nothing I can do. I can just come and sit on a pew and that's fine for me. We come up, ladies and gentlemen, with every single excuse imaginable sometimes. Every reason. Every justification for all of these things. And sometimes we allow that to go beyond ourselves. Sometimes instead of thinking about what we can't do, we are so negative about everyone else and what they can't do, and so we don't do anything either. I'm going to tell you that the one who can slay a giant and live with God in a relationship that is healthy and positive and spiritual and righteous, the Christian, the believer, the disciple of Jesus, doesn't look down on anyone else or anything else, but sees the good. Listen to me. But sees the good in everything. He has a positive attitude about others. He has a positive attitude about the work of the church and about life in general. And it is only when you have that kind of attitude that you will be able to overcome any challenge that life throws your way. But as long as you allow your attitude to hold you down, guess what's going to happen? You will always be defeated. You will always fail. You will never win. David would have never fought Goliath without a positive mindset. So the lesson for us is let's think positively. Let's trust in God. Let's glorify God. And let's think positively in life. And then finally tonight, we also need to be prepared. David took care of his own preparations. And now Saul tried to assist him. He did try to help them with those with those preparations. Look at verse 38 and verse 39 again. And notice what Saul does. The Bible says that Saul clothed David with his garments and put a bronze helmet on his head, and he clothed him with armor. David girded his sword over his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. So David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them." And David took them off. Now some might suggest that this means that the armor didn't really fit David right. It was fitted for Saul. And that may be part of it. I'm not going to just totally discredit that. I do believe that's part of it. But I think the greater part of what this is saying is that David didn't know how to use this armor. He wasn't used to it. He hadn't prepared or trained with armor. He had more than likely never even worked with armor before. Let me ask you, have you ever driven a car that wasn't your car? And you're driving in the rain and you're looking for the windshield wiper button and you just can't seem to find it? You ever been in that situation? I think all of us have. There's some people smiling. We've all been in that situation that have driven anyways. You know exactly what I'm talking about. The reason that happens is because you have not trained with that car. Now, it just takes a few moments to figure it out, but you've got to train a little bit. You've got to figure it out. And that's the same idea here. David didn't really know how to use a sword. He didn't really know how to use a shield. He didn't know how to use a soldier's armor. But one thing he did know how to use is he knew how to use a sling and a stone to protect sheep. You see, David wasn't a warrior. David was a shepherd. And this little shepherd boy went and he turned Goliath into death. He killed Goliath. That's amazing. Look at verse 40. He took his stick in his hand and chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag which he had, even in his pouch. And his sling was in his hand. And he approached the Philistine. I think that's amazing. Part of what just captures our attention about the story is this image that we have of this bold, large, overgrown warrior in armor with a spear that weighed more than David weighed probably. And then here is this little shepherd boy that was dressed up in just a tunic and a pouch and a sling. No helmet, no shield, nothing to protect him. And guess what happens? He wins. And I know that he wins because God was on his side. But he also won because he was prepared to do it. David did what he was prepared to do. God used him as he was prepared. And so we have to make preparations in life also. Reminds me of Philippians 2 and verse 12, where Paul said, "To work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." It's our job to work. In other words, God's not going to do all of the work for us. It's our job. We can go and we can fight in His name. In His name we can give Him the glory. But it is our job to get in the action and be a part of the action. To stand on the promises instead of just merely sitting on the premises. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, Peter said, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." You know what that means? It means it's my job to grow. I should not be content with where I am. That is a part of my preparation as a child of God, as a disciple of Jesus, that I should grow, maturing, growing up, becoming a better person tomorrow than I was today. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, Peter says, "Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you." I think that sometimes our problem when it comes to overcoming our challenges in life, and especially our spiritual ones like teaching our neighbors or like answering questions about faith, is that we doubt our abilities. Pay attention here. This is the point. Your spiritual arsenal may be small. But if you trust God, you give Him the glory, He can still use 5 stones and a sling to defeat giants. In fact, He can use 1 stone. That's what happened, right? And so the real issue when it comes to doubting our abilities is that it is so much of that it is not so much about our abilities as much as it is a lack of trust in God. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. There are people here who have ability far beyond anybody can imagine. We have men here who have the ability to groom themselves to become elders and deacons. And sometimes I hear some of them say, "Well, I just don't know about that." Listen, if God's given you the ability to serve, serve. Trust in God. It is not that you're questioning your abilities. It's that you have a lack of faith. There is a problem with your faith, and you've got to change it. And you've got to start trusting in your abilities to serve. God can use you where you are at today as long as you will be prepared. A part of our problem is that sometimes we are so consumed with our inabilities and what we think we cannot do, that we make the mistake of just quitting and giving up and stopping. I want to ask you tonight, what would have happened to David if after trying on that armor, he said, "You know, everybody's right. This just isn't going to work. I need to pick up my sling and I need to go home." I have to tell you that that is what a lot of us might have done. And we would have gone home because either, number one, we just do not trust where we are at, or number two, because we are not prepared to be at that point. Let me ask you, what are you doing right now? What are you doing to prepare yourself to fight the giants in life? And if the answer is, "Well, you know, I come to church on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights," then let me just say something. It is not enough. It doesn't matter how good the preaching is, or how good the singing is, or how good the thoughts before the Lord's Supper are, or how good the Bible class is. If all you are doing to prepare yourself to fight spiritual battles and to overcome temptation in your life is that you come to 4724 East Manzik Road on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, then you will fail. We need to understand that. We have to prepare in our homes, on our kitchen table, or on the couch, or in bed at night as we read God's Word. We have to prepare in our offices and on the assembly lines as we go to work and as we live an example for others, in our cars, as we meditate on spiritual things. We need, when we approach life that way, and the way that David did, where at any time or place we look for the battle to be won by the Lord, and we prepare for that, we can overcome any challenge that comes our way. It takes more than just being here. My question is, are you prepared for the challenges in your life? For the giants in your life? What are you doing to prepare? You know, when I look at this story, I see a lot of hope. Because the reality is that you and I, we can be a David. We can be a man or a woman after God's own heart. But we have to do what? We have to trust God. We have to glorify God. We have to think positively. We have to believe in ourselves. And more importantly, we have to believe in God that we can do whatever we need to do, whatever God wants us to do, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then we have to prepare. And so as we do these things, God will use us, and we can be men and women who, like David, are men and women who have a heart after the heart of the God that we serve. I got to tell you, there's a lot of things said about people in the Bible that I think are just amazing. Ruth was called a woman of excellence, a worthy woman, a woman of virtue. Abraham's the father of the faithful. David is a man after God's own heart. When God judges me, I hope He can say that about me. And I hope He can say that about you. Thank you for listening this evening. If you're here and you're not a child of God, then we want to help you become one. Mark 16 and verse 16 says, "He that believeth and is baptized will be saved. He that believeth not will be condemned. We can help you do that tonight. We'd love to help you with that. If you're here and you're a child of God, you've done those things and you just haven't had faith in God. You just haven't trusted Him. You haven't given Him the glory. For some reason, something is missing in your life because you've turned away from God. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. We'll help you get back on track. God will forgive you. We know that because He said that He would. Let us help you right now while we stand and sing. There's a fountain of freedom.